In this session, we shall pick up a few miscellaneous rules with regards to grants and assignments of leases. We will start with the rules on the duration of the lease. The lease period is usually obvious and is determined from the contract, that is, the lease agreement. However, for tax purposes, a lease may be deemed to have come to an end at a date earlier than that stipulated in the lease agreement. For instance, a lease will end, for tax purposes, on the first date at which the landlord has a legal right to terminate the lease. For example, if a tenant signs a 10-year lease, but the landlord has the right to terminate the lease contract after 8 years, for tax purposes we have an 8-year lease. The lease is also deemed to come to an end on the first date beyond which the agreement is unlikely to continue. For example, if a tenant signs a 20-year lease, but the landlord has the right to, say, treble the rents after 5 years, it is unlikely that the lease will continue beyond 5 years, therefore we have a 5-year lease for tax purposes. These rules will impact on our tax computations, as we shall see here. Assume a landlord grants a 30-year lease on a property to a tenant for a premium of £50,000. The lease agreement contains a clause whereby the landlord may bring the lease to an end after 20 years. The lease also permits the landlord to double the rents due under the lease after 10 years. For tax purposes, as the lease is unlikely to continue beyond the date on which the rents are increased, we have a 10-year lease. Therefore, when calculating the amount of the premium which is taxable as property income, we use a lease period of 10 years in our formula. By using a shorter lease period, a greater proportion of the lease premium is charged to income tax as property income. If a taxpayer acquires a property under the terms of a lease, then subsequently incurs expenditure in enhancing the value of the property, for example by adding a garage or conservatory, this enhancement expenditure must be accounted for when calculating the gain on the eventual sale of the lease. If, at the point of the disposal, the lease has 50 years or more left to run, the whole of the enhancement expenditure can be deducted in arriving at the capital gain. This fits with the general principle that the way we calculate gains on the disposal of a long lease is the same as the way we calculate gains on normal assets. The position is different if the lease had less than 50 years to run at the date of disposal. Where a short lease is sold, allowable costs are restricted by applying the lease depreciation percentages in Schedule 8 of TCGA 1992. The same principle applies to restrict the allowable element of any enhancement expenditure. In this instance, the allowable proportion of any enhancement expenditure is determined by the formula S over PE. S is the same as before, being the number of years the lease had left to run at the date of the disposal. However, the PE in the fraction is the number of years the lease had to run when the enhancement expenditure was incurred. Having determined the years, the percentages can be extracted from Schedule 8. By way of an example, assume that Martin acquired a property under the terms of a lease. Martin acquired the lease on the 1st of April 1996, when it had 45 years left to run. The lease cost £100,000. On the 1st of April 2005, Martin enhanced the property at a cost of £20,000. Martin then sold the lease on the 31st of March 2011 for £275,000. As we are dealing with the assignment of a short lease, we must first identify the relevant depreciation percentages from Schedule 8. The percentage for a 45-year lease is 98.059. When the enhancement expenditure was incurred, the lease had 36 years left to run. The percentage for 36 years is 92.761. At the date of sale, the lease had 30 years to run, giving a percentage of 87.330. We will use these figures to calculate the capital gain on sale. The lease was sold in March 2011 for £275,000. From this we deduct original cost. The lease had 30 years to run at sale and 45 years to run at the date it was originally acquired. Using the percentages for 30 and 45 years as extracted from Schedule 8, the allowable cost to be deducted is £89,059.
We next deal with the enhancement expenditure in April 2005.
The property was enhanced at a cost of £20,000. At this point, the lease had 36 years left to run. The lease had 30 years left at the date of sale. We therefore restrict the expenditure by using the percentages for 30 and 36 years, giving an allowable deduction of £18,829.
Finally, we have a gain of £167,112.
Special rules exist to calculate the capital gain when a short sublease is granted out of a short head lease. If a long lease is granted, either out of a freehold or out of a longer head lease, normal part disposal rules apply. If a short lease is granted, either out of a freehold or a long head lease, again we treat this as a part disposal, but this time the formula is slightly modified. These rules were covered in the previous session. The calculation is more complicated when a short lease is granted out of an existing short lease.
Assume a taxpayer purchased a 40-year lease on a property on the 1st of January 1992. The lease will expire in January 2032, at which point the right to use the property will revert to the freeholder. The taxpayer decides to sublet the property, and on the 1st of January 2011, he grants a 10-year sublease to another tenant. The new tenant therefore has a right to occupy the property until January 2021. We know that the grant of a lease is a disposal for CGT purposes, therefore we need to calculate the capital gain arising on the grant of this 10-year sublease in January 2011.
Firstly, when a short lease is granted, part of the premium received by the grantor will be charged to income tax as property income. We also know that the grant of a short lease is treated as a part disposal for CGT purposes. However, because this is a part disposal of a lease with less than 50 years to run, when calculating the gain, we must restrict the allowable cost by using the depreciation table in Schedule 8. The grant of a short lease out of a short head lease therefore involves the interaction of the grant and assignment rules covered in previous sessions. We restrict allowable cost for CGT purposes by using a new formula, which should now have appeared on your screen. We use S minus X over Y, where S is the number of years left on the original lease when the sublease is granted. X is the number of years left on the original lease when the sublease has expired. Y is the number of years on the original lease at the date it was acquired. We shall apply the formula by running through a numerical example on the next couple of pages.
Mark acquired a lease over a property in January 1992. The lease is for 40 years and cost £50,000. The lease will expire in January 2032. In January 2011, Mark granted a 10-year sublease to a tenant for a premium of £25,000. The sublease will expire in January 2021. We need to calculate the capital gain on the grant of the short lease by Mark in January 2011.
First, as Mark has received a premium in return for granting a short lease, part of the premium will be taxed as property income. The capital element of the premium is 2% of the premium multiplied by 10 minus 1. This leaves £20,500 chargeable to income tax. Next, we turn our attention to the capital gain. The allowable cost for Mark will be the amount paid for the original lease, restricted by using the formula we looked at on the previous page. The formula is S minus X over Y. Y is the number of years of the original head lease, being 40 years.
S is the number of years remaining on the original lease when the sublease was granted. At January 2011, 19 years of the original head lease have expired, leaving 21 years remaining.
Finally, X is the years of the original lease remaining once the short sublease has expired. This will be 21 years, less 10 years, being 11 years. As you will see from the screen, the depreciation percentages for each of these figures have been extracted from Schedule 8. The calculation of the gain is simply proceeds less allowable cost. We must bring into account the full amount of the premium, being £25,000. From this, we deduct allowable cost. The lease originally cost £50,000, but we restrict this by applying a formula. The percentages for 21 years, 11 years and 40 years are as per your screen. When multiplied through, This leaves £12,884 of the original cost to be allowed for CDD purposes. The capital gain is therefore £12,116.
However, we must recognise that some of the premium of £25,000 will have been charged to income tax in 2010-11.
The amount of the premium charged to income tax was £20,500. This must be deducted from the chargeable gain. This has the effect here of reducing the gain to zero. It is important to note that if this happens, no capital loss is created and there is no possibility of any income tax or CGT being repaid. It is quite common for this computation to produce a capital gain of zero because, where the sublease is very short, the majority of the premium will be charged to income tax, leaving only a very small capital element. Finally, in this session, we shall look at an anti-avoidance provision dealing with excessive rents under subleases. Where a lease is granted, the tenant will pay an initial premium for the lease plus an annual rent under the lease agreement. The premium is chargeable to capital gains tax and, in some instances, to income tax as well. Therefore, if the premium can be reduced, this will have the effect of decreasing the capital gain and the income tax when the lease is granted. The landlord may be prepared to accept a lower initial premium in return for higher annual rents in order to avoid CGT. There is an anti-avoidance rule within Schedule 8 which applies where a sublease is granted and the rents under the sublease exceed the rents due under the original head lease. If this is the case, when calculating the capital gain on the grant of the sublease, the allowable base cost for CGT purposes is reduced. The allowable base cost is the original cost multiplied by actual premium over notional premium. The notional premium is the premium that would have been payable by the tenant if the rents under the new sublease were the same as those due under the original head lease.